Well, the text I'd like to draw your attention to, very simply, the first part of verse 25 in Job 19, I know that my Redeemer lives. It's a wonderful verse which has been an inspiration to composers, writers, preachers, and others. And the question I simply ask is whether you can say this, I know that my Redeemer lives. It's amazing that a man like Job writes this, said this. It would have been easily understood if it had been spoken by Abraham, who was given great wealth by God. Or if it was recorded as a saying from David, who was given great power by the God he served. Or by Solomon, who was given great wisdom by this God. But this amazing truth was expressed by Job, a man who suffered greatly. He lost his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his camels. He lost his servants, his sons, his daughters. He lost his health and suffered from painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And if that was not enough, his wife turned against him as she encouraged him to curse God, which Job was refusing to do. Job's friends weren't very helpful either, as they were trying to blame Job for all the suffering he was facing. And on top of that, there were days that at best he felt he had lost God, and at worst he felt that God had turned against him. The book of Job is made up out of conversations between Job and his three friends, and we surely don't have time to go into all that, but his friends worked hard to convince Job that he must have sinned seriously to suffer as he did, while Job was just trying to make sense of what had happened to him. He never claimed to be without sin, but he struggled with the fact that it was that his particular circumstances of severe hardship were all related to particular sins he had committed. It's very easy to attribute difficult providences that people go through, that Christians go through, to attribute them to the displeasure of God, but that isn't necessarily the case. Remember the man who was born blind in John chapter 9, and when the disciples saw him in the presence of their Lord, they said, Lord, who has sinned, this man or his parents? There must be something in the life of this man or his parents that caused him to be born blind. And Jesus put them right and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, Jesus didn't say that this man and his parents were without sin, but he just disconnected the relationship between the man's circumstances and his sin. Of course, he wasn't without sin, but it wasn't because he was particularly sinful or that his parents were particularly sinful that he was born blind. It's not as simple as that. See, the counsel of Job's friend was too simplistic. You have problems, so God must be displeased with you. It's also arrogant because, although they didn't so much say that perhaps, but it seems that they implied that as they didn't have any of Job's problems, God must be pleased with them. And many people today think that. Have you noticed? When things work out for them, the outsider says, someone up there must like me. And they somehow try to connect the good things in their life to the fact that God, or whatever name they give him, must be pleased with them. And it is not like that, is it? And so we find Job struggled to come to terms with the many losses he had encountered. The burden was great and the questions were real and his pain was excruciating. In chapter 19, we see him at the very depth of his despair. And although we read this before, I want to read verses 13 to 21 again. And it's just it's a bit of a fraction of all the pain he felt. And this is what he said in verse 13, speaking about God: "He has alienated my brothers from me. My acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My kinsmen have gone away. My friends have forgotten me. My guests and my maidservants count me a stranger. They look upon me as an alien. I summon my servant, but he does not answer, though I beg him with my own mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife. I'm loathsome to my own brothers. Even the little boys scorn me. When I appear, they ridicule me. All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped by only the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me, my friends, have pity, for the hand of God has struck me." And yet, this man who suffers so greatly, who is desperate, whose circumstances are so hard to bear, is able to say, "I know that my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives." I'd like us to have a closer look at this statement. We can easily break it down into four parts. And the first word I'd like to dwell on is that word Redeemer. When Job, suffering greatly, says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And we may ask the question, why does Job use the word Redeemer to describe his God? Why not another of the many names he could have used? He could have said, "I know that my King lives," or "my Lord, my Master, my Teacher," which would have been right. Yet he went for Redeemer. The reason is, I believe, that Redeemer, like Savior, is an action word. Is a word with God stepping into things. God is described as Redeemer. God is described as Savior because God acts to help those in trouble. You see, it describes a God who is not just sitting on his throne being God, and I don't mean that irreverent in any way, but pictured in that way, a God who rules, but it's a God who acts. A God who moves, a God who intervenes, a God who saves, a God who redeems, a God who sets free, a God, as we said earlier, who so loved this world that he gave his Son. A Redeemer steps in and takes action to deliver. Whenever we as New Testament Christians hear about redemption, we think of sin. Jesus Christ is described as the one who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. God redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ. That is absolutely vital. But be careful that you do not see redemption as just being saved from sin. I don't undermine the immensity of the fact of being saved from sin and to be the children of God and God remembering our sins no more. That is glorious, it's wonderful, it's the most precious truth. And yet, if you believe in God, if you know Jesus to be your Savior, if God is your Redeemer, then he has bought you at a very high price with the blood of his Son. And you're precious to him. In Romans we read, as the church in Rome was suffering, was struggling, so much opposition, so much hardship, and the Apostle Paul seeks to encourage them by saying, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Yes, the Savior saved you from your sin, but you've become the children of God. You're precious to him. God has, as it were, a vested interest in you. And God's heart is full of a desire to bless his people and to reach out to them and to encourage them, to deliver them, to give them grace to cope with things, to give them his peace. You see, to know Jesus as your Redeemer is not just knowing that your sins are forgiven, paid for, taken away, but it's also knowing that it's on God's agenda to bless us and to provide for us and to comfort us, to lead us, to help us, to strengthen us. You may look back on your life with regret, or with sadness, or with shame. But a Christian can join Job in that wonderful truth. Jesus is my Redeemer. You may look at your circumstances and wonder how you will cope as you just enter 2022. And maybe your circumstances are really complex, are really difficult, are really heavy. And you also may know that Jesus is your Redeemer. And he will be with you. I know that my Redeemer lives. God is someone who steps into our situation and helps us. Second thing I'd like you to notice is this, where Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Why does Job say that? Well, that's an obvious one, isn't it? There's a point to say that God is alive. The answer to that is obvious, because what good would it be if God was just a name in history? How would it help any believer if this book was just a history book that tells us about things in the past but has no relevance for today? There are books about Egyptians, books about Romans, books about other great empires and great leaders and great people. And they were all great, but the empires are mostly gone and the leaders are dead. We may learn from the things they did and the words they spoke, but they cannot help us today. But Job was clear about this truth, and this was important to him, because it seemed as if God had gone, that God had deserted him. And so he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. The circumstances were difficult, and yet Job trusted in the fact that his God was real. He was alive at that very moment that Job was down in the dumps. God was alive. God was there. Now, when you and I think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how would it help us that 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem? How does it help us to know that he preached great sermons and performed wonderful miracles, even died on a cross, if he hadn't been raised from the dead? Just a name in history, a special name, name of a great man, and yet history. There are Christians today, if the Christian is the right word to describe these people, who call themselves Christians, who believe in God but don't believe in the resurrection. There are church leaders today who don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. What sad people they must be. The Bible is clear, and we can know this for sure. So many verses, so many witnesses, so many people being changed. And since the day of Pentecost, so many people have been added to the church, year after year, century after century, because our Savior is the living Savior. And his Spirit has been poured out on this world, and the Spirit is working, and people are being added to the church, and thousands of people are being saved. Even today, in areas of this world where there's severe persecution, the church is growing because our Redeemer is alive. He is at work. He's not just an historical name. He is real. I know that my Redeemer lives. Is there that conviction in your heart to be able to say, I know Jesus is alive? Yeah, sometimes we look at the circumstances, as Job did, and say, Lord, I cannot see it. Sometimes we go through deep valleys of difficulties and say, Lord, where are you? And yet, we know deep in our hearts that our Redeemer is alive. Our struggles and our doubts and our questions do not disqualify us from being the children of God, because Job himself, read through the book, he asked many questions. Why, Lord? How? Where? What? He asked all these questions because he couldn't make sense of his circumstances and the reality of God. But in the midst of all his doubts and questions, he still said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And so if you struggle, if you have doubts and questions, join Job in that situation. But in your doubts and questions, may God give us the strength to hang on to the truth that he is real, that he is there, that he is alive, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Thirdly, we notice that Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Perhaps this doesn't need emphasizing, but please know that Job is not saying, I hope he is still there. There's not much evidence of him today. I hope he's still there. He's not even saying, I feel he is with me. Because feelings come and go, don't they? No, he says, I know. It's not hopeful thinking. This is rock solid, God-given conviction. It's not positive thinking. This is being sure of God. I know. I know that my Redeemer lives. The hymnist says, what joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, he lives, who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head. And I just noticed that I made some comments on the second heading that I should have left until the third one. But whenever I said them, whatever moment I say them, they're still true. And so I just repeat this again, this whole aspect. When Job says, I know, it is accompanied by doubts and questions. And for us to say today, I know that the Lord is my Savior. I know that Jesus is with me. I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that his mercies will be new every morning. But at the moment, I cannot make sense of what is happening in my life. At the moment, things seem black and heavy and trying. At the moment, I'm just looking for peace. I'm looking for clarity. I'm looking for guidance. And yet, strangely, I'm sure most of us have been there, in the midst of the doubts and questions, we still know, and we hang on to it, that God is there, because he is a faithful and most glorious God. I know that my Redeemer lives. And finally, the fourth one, where Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I would say the most tragic of all people are those who believe that God is real, who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, without knowing that he is their God, their Redeemer, their Savior. I've met people like that in church who are there Sunday after Sunday, and sometimes you get into conversation with them and say, well, you know, do you believe in God? Do you believe there is a God? You know, a very basic question, how important it is. And they say yes, and you notice from the way they respond, and you know them well enough, that they don't sincerely believe there is a God. And you ask them if they believe that God sent his Son, and that all that it says about Jesus in the gospel is true, and they give some indication that yes, they do believe, and yet you explore a bit further and you realize that they don't know anything about their sins being forgiven, though. They're not ready to say, my Jesus, my Savior. It's truth they believe in, but the truth is somehow kept by them for some reason at a distance, rather than owning these things for themselves. And it's tragic. Can you imagine Job in the midst of terrible suffering saying something like this? I know that God exists, but he's not my God. Look at my life. How can this God be my God? I know that the Redeemer lives, but he's not my Redeemer. But that is not how it was, thank God. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And can you see the difference it makes to that wonderful truth? Redeemer, he's alive. I know it. And he's my Redeemer. Oh, bless the person who can say this morning, I know that Jesus saves from sin. I know he's alive, and I know, thank God, that he is my Savior. At the moment was in my life, and when he opened my eyes, maybe instantly or gradually, however it happened, doesn't really matter, but I know that he opened my eyes, and so that I can say today, Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. You know, it's changed the whole outlook. How do people cope with pandemics and with political instability and personal tragedies and struggles without knowing that God is their God? They try to cope all by themselves, and the burdens are heavy, and they have no one who can really make a difference in their lives to call on. But Job could, in the midst of extreme suffering, he can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. I don't want to take anything for granted. And I want to ask you this morning, can you honestly say from the bottom of your heart with great conviction, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior by grace? The Spirit opened my eyes to see I am the sinner who needs saving. He opened my eyes to see the Savior who went to the cross as the sinless Lamb of God to die for my sins so that my sins can be forgiven. I know that God has helped me to realize that I can come and trust in Jesus Christ, and that I can that own these wonderful doctrines in my own life, that by grace I have been saved. Not by work, not by anything I've done, but it is the gift of God. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross there for me, for many others as well, but he was there for me, and he is my Redeemer, and he is my Savior. If you can't say that, I just pray that you will just pause and think and say, well, why am I not running towards the Savior? Why am I arrogant to think that I can live my life by myself? Why do I think that I can face God without having a Savior at my sight? Why am I just paying tribute to these great doctrines? Why am I sitting here in church and yet I'm not coming and trusting in Jesus? The door of grace is still open. And I trust that maybe for the first time, when we sing our closing hymn in just a few moments, that someone may sing for the first time, "Mine, mine, mine, I know thou art mine, Savior, dear Savior, I know thou art mine." Come to him if you haven't come before and believe that he died for you. You can have a Redeemer, a Savior who forgives, who comforts, who strengthens, and who will never leave you. And for those of us who have been walking with the Lord for a few years, maybe for many years, we know that this Savior is my Savior, our Savior, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and that his mercies are new every morning. And that in all circumstances and at all times, we can say with conviction, with gratitude, and with joy, "I know that my Redeemer lives." May God help us to keep believing that and to rejoice in that glorious truth. God bless you all. Amen. Let's spend a few moments in silence as we make our own response to God. Lord, we so thank you for the pages of Scripture, for this inspired word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your servants of old, someone like Job, Lord, who, because of the grace of God in his life, was able to say, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And Lord, we want to own that statement again and say, Lord, it's most glorious that we, those who fall far short of the glory of God, can call you our Savior, my Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, that you are alive because you died for our sins and rose again, and that you are with us right today. Lord, help us to keep believing that truth. Lord, you know that often we are frail, but pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will remind us on a daily basis that God is our God. And help us, Lord, to rejoice in this truth. And may the peace that passes understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.